As arrests continue, with at least 3,080 people currently detained, there are reports that 23 people have been sentenced to death.
Myanmar coup teeters on edge of conflict. It's Thursday, April 15th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online. We're at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, journalists a target in Myanmar, a vaccine pause, Filipino coffee and new farm tech, saving sea turtles. It's all on today's VOA Asia. We have much to hear on developments about Myanmar, those in just a moment. But first, President Biden has formally announced all U.S. troops will leave Afghanistan by September 11th, 20 years after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. U.S. military involvement in Afghanistan is the longest war in U.S. history.
We were attacked. We went to war with clear goals. We achieved those objectives. Bin Laden is dead, and al-Qaeda is degraded in Iraq, in Afghanistan. And it's time to end the forever war.
We will have more on President Biden's announcement today from the White House on VOA Asia's social media and on this program tomorrow. United Nations Human Rights Chief Michelle Bachelet is calling for urgent international action to get Myanmar's military leadership to stop slaughtering its people. If this continues, Bachelet warns, civil war akin to what has happened in Syria is likely to break out in Myanmar. Lisa Schlein is in Geneva, from where she shares more details.
Human Rights Chief Bachelet is calling on all states with influence, especially Myanmar's neighbors, to apply concerted pressure on the ruling military junta to end its campaign of repression and slaughter of its people. She says many of the grave human rights violations being committed by Myanmar's military might amount to crimes against humanity and must be stopped. Bachelet spokeswoman Ravina Shamdasani says the High Commissioner fears a continuation of these crimes could tear the country apart and lead to a civil war like that in Syria. The United Nations estimates 400,000 people have died. 11.7 million are displaced both within and as refugees, and more than 11 million people need international aid to survive. Shamdasani says credible reports indicate the past weekend in Myanmar was particularly murderous. She says the country's armed forces, known as the Tatmadaw, attacked civilians with rocket-propelled grenades and mortar fire, killing at least 82 people. She says some people are using makeshift or primitive weapons in self-defense, and clashes between the military and ethnic armed groups in Kachin, Shan, and Kain State are intensifying.
As arrests continue, with at least 3,080 people currently detained, there are reports that 23 people have been sentenced to death following secret trials, including four protesters and 19 others who were accused of political and criminal offenses. The mass arrests have forced hundreds of people to go into hiding.
Bachelet calls the situation untenable. She says nations must cut off the supply of arms and finances to the military leadership that allow it to kill and seriously violate its people's human rights. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Aid groups step in amid ongoing violence in Myanmar. Chinese and U.S. military exercises are now new norm in disputed Asian Sea. Taliban shun Afghanistan talks until foreign forces leave. We need a voice at peace talks, Afghanistan's female journalists say. South Korea considers actions against Japan over plan to release radioactive water from Fukushima plant. Expanded coverage of all these stories and much more are found on Facebook at VOA Asia and our website, voanews.com. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We continue with VOA Asia. The Myanmar army is attacking journalists and increasing censorship in its deadly crackdown against opponents of the February coup. Five major media groups have been banned, and the internet has been shut down. But Burmese journalists are not giving up. For VOA, Steve Sanford reports from Mae Sot, Thailand.
On the walls of the Assistance Association for Political Prisoners, the Myanmar Army's legacy of brutality during the 1988 crackdown is clear. The association, founded by former Burmese political prisoners living in exile, is working to help other political prisoners and document abuses. It posts daily updates on post-coup attacks on civilians, including those charged, arrested, or killed by security forces. While the military has banned five major networks and increased internet restrictions, the group says modern technology will help them get the truth out.
This era is the 21st century, a time of rapid development. No matter what the military tries to do to threaten our lives, they can't stop us from reporting the tragic news.
Media groups like Burma News International have gone remote, due in part to the COVID crisis, and rely heavily on the internet. But the decision this week by Myanmar satellite companies to stop international broadcasts of banned media groups has increased pressure to get the news out by any means.
This time we have to rely on the community journalists, you know, the CJ, and also like some of the stringers. Since there's internet like a limitation, we have to rely on the phone. We can get the information, but it's difficult to send the photos and video.
As the Myanmar army continues to limit free expression and suppress the documentation of human rights abuses, media groups reach out to new contributors and old methods to get the facts out to the world. Steve Sanford for VOA News, Chiang Mai, Thailand.
Happening now in Asia, anti-coup demonstrators in Myanmar held a march Wednesday in a town known for its jade mines on the second day of Myanmar's traditional New Year holiday period. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We hope you're enjoying the day, and we're glad you're with us on VOA Asia. Several U.S. states have temporarily stopped providing Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccines, in line with federal guidance, after six people who received the shots developed rare blood clots. Meanwhile, several countries have suspended the AstraZeneca vaccines after reports that it, too, may be linked to blood clots. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara reports.
U.S. federal health agencies called for the suspension of the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine on Tuesday after six women developed rare blood clots within 2 weeks of receiving the shot. Experts say the clots were observed in the sinuses of the brain. One woman died. Almost 7 million Johnson & Johnson shots have been delivered in the U.S., making the risk less than 1 in a million, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The White House said the pause has been put in place out of an abundance of caution and will not significantly impact vaccine rollout.
The J&J vaccine makes up less than 5% of the more than 190 million recorded shots in arms in the United States to date.
The Biden administration says the U.S. has secured enough Pfizer and Moderna doses for 300 million Americans and will continue to administer an average of over 3 million shots per day. Still, the Johnson & Johnson suspension is expected to scare off those already hesitant to get vaccinated. That's about 20% of Americans, according to polls. It will also make it harder to reach underserved communities, since J&J doses do not have to be stored at ultra-cold temperatures and is the only single-shot vaccine being used in the U.S.
Think about homeless populations, where it's very difficult to find those people a second time. So even if you go out to, you know, mobile clinics to certain populations, it's just very hard to get to them twice. And so a single dose vaccine is a great tool for that kind of vaccine outreach.
Meanwhile, several countries have either suspended the AstraZeneca vaccine or stopped giving it to younger people, also due to the potential danger of rare blood clots.
The J&J vaccine and the AstraZeneca vaccine are made in very similar ways, different from Moderna and Pfizer. And of course, one of the questions is, if this blood clotting event is related to the vaccines, what's special about these vaccines that might induce these blood clotting events. We don't know the answers to that yet, but that's part of the investigation.
Issues with AstraZeneca and J&J are complicating vaccine rollout in Europe and other places. Patsy Wirakuswara, VOA News.
Homebrewed coffee in the Philippines and remote farming technology are the topics on today's VOA Asia Business Scene. Here's Josh Nist.
With millions of Filipinos forced to stay at home under lockdown caused by the pandemic, a new wave of passion for homebrewing coffee has formed. Thanks to a flourishing online community, many are bringing the cafe experience into their homes and even out onto the streets. Over quarantine, 21-year-old Steven Villena began researching, making his own coffee, and eventually started selling bottled cold brew online. Today, he can be found brewing coffee along a popular strip in a residential neighborhood every Saturday afternoon.
I wanted to make a business since the pandemic, as with the lockdown, I have zero income. There was really no work when the lockdown started. Of course, the primary goal is to have income, but at the same time, it's to help these farmers.
Villena has been working on his curbside coffee bar called CCAP Coffee with his partner and friend since December. Another company, Yardstick Coffee, is a popular homegrown shop that does have a cafe, but most of its sales come from supplying beans and machines to wholesale businesses. But after the pandemic hit, owner Andre Chenko noticed a change in their usual clientele. They now operate the roastery every day and have temporarily converted their cafe into a stockroom and packaging area to keep up with the demand for coffee beans, mostly to be brewed at home. Remote-controlled Venus flytraps, also known as roboplants, that tell farmers when they are hit by disease, could become reality after scientists develop a high-tech system for communicating with vegetation. A researcher at Singapore's Nanyang Technological University believes it could eventually be used to build advanced plant-based robots that are able to pick up a host of fragile objects which are too delicate for rigid robotic arms. Scientists are still in the process of opening the flytrap's jaw back after they close it remotely. This process would take 10 or more hours to happen naturally. For Business Scene, I'm Josh Nist.
Scientists studying sea turtles say the ancient animal's numbers are dropping. They blame mostly human activity, but say they hope a new action plan could help the species mount a comeback. VOA's Arash Arabasadi tells us more.
Researchers with NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, catch a leatherback sea turtle off the coast of California.
Pull, 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 pull!
The tens of millions of years old species is in serious decline, says ecologist Scott Benson.
Estimates are that the population now is about 1,400 adult females remaining. That's down from literally tens of thousands a few decades ago.
Benson co-authored a new study that says the foraging area used by the leatherback sea turtle saw a population drop of about 80% in the past 30 years. He says this is amazing given the species' adaptability.
The leatherback turtle is an ancient mariner. They've been around for almost as long as 80 million years in their present form.
All seven species of the leatherback are in trouble, but the new study focuses on the Western Pacific variety, which migrates more than 11,000 kilometers from Indonesia and the Solomon Islands to the U.S. West Coast to feast on jellyfish. NOAA recently released a new action plan calling for greater international cooperation. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
We're at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We invite you to join us there until our next program at the same time tomorrow. Thanks for being with us, and thanks to our VOA Asia team, Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.